strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes. Presented by Santan Ford.
Picked up by Rhodes at the 25. Cuts left to the 20, to the outside 10. Rhodes to the 5. Touchdown! Kerry Rhodes!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And by Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/iTunes.
Bang! There it is.
Yeah! Lobbing it far side. Picked off by Rhodes at midfield.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising. Vision blurring. Rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
What's my name?
And Kerry Rhodes.
Oh, I'm on that, boy. I'm on it. Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
All the moment has arrived, has it not? It is the Big Red Rage. Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all presented by Santan Ford. And for a moment there, I thought it had finally arrived. You know, making a list, checking it twice. At the top of my list, Wolf, you may not know this, for almost 8 years now has been that the Big Red Rage starts. And it's just Pauly Pigskin solo. Not weighed down by you guys, Bertrand Berry for 5 years, Adrian Wilson or Kerry Rhodes, you over here making these salient football points. Just me over here, Pauly Pigskin and the fine fans out here at the Big Red Rage and just talking football amongst us. And then all of a sudden at the last moment, you showed up.
Yeah, really. You were hoping to do a monologue, is that it?
Something like that, Wolf. Yeah, maybe take some phone calls, you know, bring some fans up, you know, just sort of get interactive with the fine folks out here. And right after we moved one of those patio heaters right up here to the stage. That's the first order of business. I hope that's where Kerry is right now. He's busy now that his foot is healed. Let's put him to work. Get one of those space heaters up here immediately.
I was stunned, as a matter of fact, Paulie. It's funny you bring that up because I got the injury report today, of course, and there it was. Kerry Rhodes. And, of course, they'll have DNP. That means what, Paul?
Did not practice.
Well done, Paul. Excellent job right there. Yeah. They'll have DNP. They'll have limited. And then sometimes they'll have full. Yeah. Right?
I know DNP because in my high school playing career, in the box score to say DNP for did not play. But there's different derivations. Paul, during the week, it's practice.
Yeah, Paul, nobody cares about your high school experience, okay? Nobody really cares about that. But there it was, Kerry Rhodes, and it was F-U-L-L. Full practice for Kerry Rhodes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Very, very excited for that guy. You know, still on the injury report, but he went full. Well done.
So his second full practice, big week for Kerry Rhodes. Big, big week. He's back, and he just decided to blow this popsicle stand and said, you know what, enough with Calvisi and Wolfley. You know, I'm just
he would never do that, though.
He's going to be fashionably late. That's what he's going to be.
Yeah, he would never do that, Paulie, because he actually enjoys this.
You sure about that? Oh, has he told you that?
Totally.
All right.
The smile on his face. Yeah. Every time he comes in here, and he's getting better, isn't he? I mean, he's getting more assertive. He wants to ask more and more questions. Every time I'm sitting here and I'm trying to talk to the other guests besides Kerry Rhodes, all of a sudden I get the whack in the arm, right?
Really?
What? Kerry's like, hey, I want to talk to the guy. I love that. Little growth from Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah. Maybe he's getting ready for his holiday mixer, that big charity event he's putting on for the third straight year. You know,
that's right.
Those mixers don't just come together without a lot of pre-planning and forecasting. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, Wolf. Well, you know what? The show goes on. We're going to rock this thing. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yes, Kerry Rhodes is your affable host. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley over here. And a very special guest. Wolf, just out of curiosity, if we were going to hold a vote here, Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Jason Ellis, all the regulars here on the Big Red Rage, and elect a team captain, I mean, I'd probably win in a landslide. Wouldn't you think? Just a team captain, Wolf. As a captain, you think I'd... Because our special guest is somebody who was one of only 8 players in Alabama football history to earn a particular honor, and it may or may not have something to do with being a team captain.
Yeah, captain of the elves, maybe, for you, Paul.
Okay. See, that's totally uncalled for, and you say it at the very end of the music, so I have no time to respond.
Right.
It's the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, back with our special guest and Kerry Rhodes right after this.
Check it out.
Smith will throw, rolling to the right, and going to throw it away, near side, out of bounds. And how about Rashad Johnson got a licking on Frank Gore, too? He knew that ball was overthrown. He didn't care. He got his shot in, and the Cardinals hold.
Yeah, he did. Rashad Johnson with a little shot, a little forearm there, up and under the chin of Frank Gore, knocked the DNA right out of him.
He got a game ball last week, so, you know, in an effort like that for Rashad to get a game ball, it means he's played well. And I think that's what it's all about. When you talk about why is our defense improved, we've had a number of different guys step in and make plays and get better. He's one of those guys.
Think about that, you know, a game ball and a special spot on the Big Red Rage. I'm not sure how you would rank those here in the Big Red Rage. Yes, it is with Kerry Rhodes. Yes, he is in the house. How about it, Kerry Rhodes? Our host is back.
I am here.
And coming off two straight full practices, which we will get into momentarily. Kerry, how are you feeling?
I'm sleepy right now.
Sleepy?
No, I'm just playing. I'm happy to be here. It's fun. I mean, we got a great guest today. And, you know, I get to see Paulie Pencil Neck in the building. And I get to see the great Wolf. So it's fun today.
What's great is Wolf just ordered this massive, dinner over here. And then Rashad goes, just give me a water. I love that. Not to give away our guests. Go ahead, Kerry, so we can talk to our guests with the official introduction.
Well, I just want to introduce this guy as... I mean, he's been playing well. I think he's earning his keep in his league, and he's got a chance to play. And when he got hurt, I told him that it would be a chance for him to come out and play well. And I knew he was going to do well. And that's our guest today, Mr. Rashad Johnson.
All right.
Absolutely. Third round pick in 2009. And a guy who, you look at some of these numbers, Rashad, against the 49ers, especially in the second half there. They had two first downs and 78 total yards in that second half. And five of their seven drives went three and out. Before we talk about you two guys in particular, how about a quick word on the state of the defense right now?
On fire.
It is.
Just doing a great job of everybody just buying into the defense and everybody just doing their job. I mean, everybody trusts the guy beside them and just not trying to do too much and just feeling comfortable. So it's definitely been a lot of fun playing with those guys, and I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity.
Do you think, Rashad, that there was a prove-it-to-me mentality going on with both Ray Horton, with the players and the players with Ray Horton as a new defensive coordinator, and they didn't have the OTAs, you guys, and you didn't have the mini camps to warm up? Suddenly it was training camp, and it was go 100 miles an hour. Do you think there was, among some of the veterans, a prove-it-to-me approach, and yet Ray Horton also saying, you prove it to me?
I definitely could see that. I mean, when somebody comes in with something new, something that you're not familiar with, it's always you have that little bit of doubt because, I mean, you know, the way that you've normally done it and you've been successful doing it that way, you want to continue to do that.
Right.
But, I mean, just through the struggles and everybody sticking together and coaching staff believing in us and having a lot of faith in us to open up the package again after it was scaled back, it just shows that, you know, we got a lot of tremendous growth and a lot of great leaders on this team.
You know, Kerry, I talked to Coach Horton at length last week, and he said there were numerous times where he said, trust me. He said two words. He was telling the defense over and over at different times, preseason, regular season, trust me. How many times did he say that, and how long before guys truly 100% trusted their new defensive coordinator?
Well, you can always say that. I mean, before us and a lot of the guys, we were in another system. So to buy into another system is always hard. I mean, you know, you have guys come in talking the talk and saying how great their system is, but until you actually get into it and you start running it yourself and not seeing other teams do it and you get comfortable with it, then you'll buy into it. And I think as we've seen more and more tape of ourselves and see how we can play in the defense, it's gotten better.
What are some of the trends of you guys playing better? Like, where is it showing up, I guess? Are you playing more man coverage than you're playing zone? What are some of the things you guys are doing to play better?
I mean, I just feel... It isn't that we're just playing more mans or playing more zones. I think it's more of everyone just playing
the same thing.
Yeah, the same thing and being completely confident in what they're doing. I mean, it's not a lot of different calls or a different scheme that we're running. It's the same thing that we started the season off with, but it's just a lot of guys being a lot more comfortable and then, like you said, just believing in it and doing it.
So it's kind of like the mental error thing too, right, Kerry? That was what was killing the defense early in. The M.E.'s killing the defense. As long as you guys are playing the same defense, even if it's the wrong defense that was called,
exactly.
If you're all playing the same thing, that's a big improvement.
That's the key. I mean, you have to be 11 playing the same thing. If one person is off, especially in the secondary or the second level, you're in trouble. So on the back end, we take a lot of the brunt of the criticism sometimes because of team scoring. But if we're together and we do the right thing, we'll be fine.
How pivotal or instrumental was it when you guys played Pittsburgh and you saw the way that defense is run by a club that's run it for many years, and you were able to talk to some of those players after the game, from what I understand? I mean, how instrumental and important was that to see them run it and go, okay, yes, this is the way it can be?
I mean, I don't think it was as much as just seeing those guys running as it was for us to sit down and the coaching staff point out the things that we were doing well. Like, it was times where in the first quarter we would play lights out. You know, this is everybody doing it right. And then he would show us a clip of, you know, this is guys not doing it right. So, I mean, I think it was just more of us seeing ourselves do it right than seeing someone else do it and believing in it more in ourselves and then another team.
Rashad, how much have you grown in Carey's absence? How much have you grown as a player?
I feel like I've grown a lot. I mean, I'm a lot more confident in my play, and I got a lot of the confidence of the players around me and the coaching staff. I mean, I think that's an important thing when you're stepping into a role, is making sure those guys trust you. I mean, there may be some things scaled back because they don't know if he can get this thing done. And for me to be able to go out and be able to show them that I can do those things, I mean, it was just tremendous confidence lift for me. And to see just the faith and the trust they have in me now when we talk is just different than it was, you know, 7 weeks ago.
Rashad Johnson, let me just say, part of the tip of the spear for this resurgence and the Arizona Cardinals defense, the young guys in the youth movement, led by this guy, Rashad Johnson.
And to a large degree, I think the ascent of Rashad has mirrored the ascent of the defense. They've grown together.
Indeed.
And they've only allowed 6 touchdowns in the last 6 games running. We'll continue to talk about that and more of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Second down and 10 at the 29 of the Cardinals. Steve Smith wide left. Newton under center. D'Angelo Williams the back. And rolling right as Newton gets away from pressure. Now slips and falls, and then Kerry Rose comes in and cleans him up at the 35-yard line.
That's a heads-up play and a good tackle. Excellent defense right when the Cardinals needed it.
Yep, Kerry Rose there. Kerry Rose here. Game 14. That was game number 1 against Carolina. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Paul Calvisi, Ron Mulfley, Kerry Rhodes, and a special guest, Rashad Johnson. And we talked about it earlier there, Kerry. In fact, Wolf brought it up. The F word, a 4-letter F word, Wolf. What is it? It's good, though. It's very good. We can say it on the air. What's that word?
Full?
Yes, Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, good.
That'd be the practice there, report there, Kerry. So tell us, what does that mean exactly? Because we've been waiting how many weeks now to see that in the injury report? I mean, this is very good news.
That's about, 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Full just means I get tired with the rest of the guys now. It doesn't mean too much. I mean, no, it's good. I mean, I've been able to get out there and move around with the guys and, you know, and getting some real action, some real calls.
So how does it feel, though? Does it? Do you feel any? Is there any sensation there? And if so, what is it?
Well, I mean, the sensation is minimal, but like I said, it feels good to be out there with the guys. I mean, just from, you never know how much you miss being around the guys on the field and just joking around, whatever the situation may be. Just being out there and being able to have access to those guys, and those guys have access to me. So it's been fun.
How much has been mental? Have you been testing that thing, trying to go through barriers?
You know what? It's more mental than anything. I mean, like I said, the pain is very minimal, but just doing the same movements you've done before.
And you got to trust it, don't you?
You got to trust it. And I've been able to go out and run full speed and all that stuff, but just some of the quick twitch movements, you know, it's a little, got to get back to it again, trusting it again.
So if you trust it, what's the toughest part? Is it the contact? Is it the speed of the game? You know, maybe we saw some of that with Kevin Cobb from the first half to the second half, right, recently?
Yeah.
And getting used to the speed of the game. What about on defense? What will it be for you once you're in?
It's a reaction game on that side of the ball, so that's what makes it even harder. So you have to be ahead of the game on knowing what you want to do and knowing what they want to do. So for me, the big thing this week is studying more. I always study a lot anyway, but to study more and make sure I know what's going on.
What about you, Rashad? How are you holding up physically?
I'm holding up pretty good. I just get my massages weekly. And
He says he gets a massage weekly?
Yeah. Yes.
I get three.
I see.
Three?
Increase exponentially as you get more years in the league. All right, Kerry, you like to make jokes about that with some of the younger guys on, but Rashad, let's not minimize it. This man was playing very well before he went down with a foot injury. In fact, we don't need any of us to talk about it. Ken Wisenhunt talked about it today after practice.
Kerry was doing a good job. He was playing probably as good as anybody when he got injured. And I think he picked it up fairly well. I mean, but he hasn't had a lot of reps. You just have to be sensitive to the fact that Carey is not only coming off an injury, but hasn't played in a while.
How much have you learned from Carey Rhodes in the last 2 years?
Learned a lot. I mean, it was just a tremendous blessing to be able to play behind a guy who's a Pro Bowler and then done it for as many years as he has. And just the things that he tells me as far as, you know, tendencies and the way that they may take a shot. It was just like we was in the locker room before this past game. And he was like, you know, San Fran's, you know, is going to pound it. And he's like, just be alert for a shot early. And what they ended up taking a shot early, but it was just overthrown. And, you know, he just does a lot of things like that, that he comes to me mentally and helps me out and just gets me focused in the way, you know, he takes me before the games and things like that. But just on the field talking to me when my, you know, I take a bad break or my eyes are bad, he just always has that little thing that he can tell me. I'll be like, you know what, you're right. I'm going to work on that.
Rashad, how many are you making defensive calls out there? Are you a guy that is, you know, getting other people lined up in the right spot?
Yeah, I mean, in the back end, we definitely have to give out the signals, and if we see guys that are not in the way they should be, we need to get them aligned the right way. And, you know, it's just a collective group. We all do that very well. You know, everybody turns around and communicates the signals to each other. So we've gotten a lot better at that.
And he may be one of the smartest guys on the defense, so don't let him fool you.
You know what? Well, that's one of the reasons why I was asking this question, Gary, because when you came out of Alabama, Nick Saban, a guy I know pretty well since he was a coach with the Cleveland Browns when I was there, but Nick Saban said you were the smartest player that he coached. So do you feel like you took, first of all, is Nick Saban right? Number one. And number two, do you feel like you have totally grasped the NFL game and some of the calls?
I don't know. I wouldn't say Coach Saban's right or not, but I mean, I definitely caught on to the defense pretty fast and was able to grasp it and help others get caught up to it. And I do feel like, you know, that I've caught on to the speed of the game. The physicality of the game was the biggest difference for me first coming in, just how physical the guys are. And, you know, just playing with a lot of confidence, man. I think it's just, it's not that I couldn't do it. It was just being able to go out there and actually do it and, you know, gaining that confidence.
Even coming from the SEC, the dreaded SEC, the physicality of the NFL really surprised you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, my first game out there, I got smacked pretty bad, and I was just like looking around like, man, what am I into right now?
What have I gotten myself into?
Here's my question about Nick Saban. Does he really – is that office of his that I saw on ESPN a couple years ago for real? It's like 2,000 square feet. It's all wood paneled, and he's got like an automatic door opener, and he sits at his desk, and he opens and closes the door by button. Is that for real?
Every bit of it's real. It's for real as you touching that red button every 5 seconds.
That's that big-time SEC money.
I mean, what's going on with the office? Does he do that on purpose to intimidate all these teenagers?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like going to the principal's office, honestly, when you're sitting outside and you see the door just slide open,
right,
and nobody's standing there, and you walk in, and he's sitting there looking at you. So, I mean, it's definitely it's pretty wild.
I mean, there's God complex of sort, and then he's like Nick Saban behind that desk just opening and closing the door on kids and recruits.
I'm sure he stays up there 24 hours a day.
It's just hilarious. All right, we continue with Rashad Johnson, special guest to Carey Rhodes on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford.
Hit the cough button, Paul.
They fake the inside run. Skelton with time, fires deep middle. It's caught. Doucette at the 40, at the 30, runs left to the 20, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown! A 60-yard touchdown pass by John Skelton.
I think we had a mismatch. They stayed their regular base defense, and we had our three wide package in there. So Early was on a linebacker, and he was able to stick the linebacker, split the safety. You know, he caught a good block from Larry on the outside. And, you know, that's just a typical play where everyone does their job right. The guy makes a play, and Early did a great job of getting in the end zone.
Oh, John Skelton coming in. He had backup reps all week. First series, Kevin Cobb goes out, and there's big John Skelton comes in, especially that second half, and leads the team back from down 19-7. Almost a mirror image of the game at Candlestick, except this time, Skelton leads the offense back, and you guys get the win 21-19. Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford. Yeah, special guests Rashad Johnson and Carey Rhodes, your host.
Yes. You know what? Skelton's performance was incredible. I think he... especially for the prior games against San Fran, he didn't play well. And I think that was the first two he didn't play well. And then he came back this game and came out the bullpen and got us a win. I was impressed a lot by what he did.
And that lumbering athleticism, who was it on this show? Used that terminology, lumbering athleticism. I mean, that's key. I mean, that got some key first downs.
he's very athletic, and he's big. He's not that fast, but he's very effective, though.
Here is what is kind of perplexing when you watch John Skelton on film, and you guys feel free to jump in here, but, you know, they're starting a game, he really seems to struggle out of the gate, really seems to not have a grasp. Now, look, this was a situation where he didn't get reps the week of practice, right? Kevin Cobb was the guy. He went down on the first possession. Now, all of a sudden, this is the role of a backup, to come in and play well. And I understand where that would be a little difficult to get it jump-started quickly. But he made some throws. He made some throws in the second half, especially to early Doucette on that bang eight, what I call a bang eight. Yeah. And then, of course, to Larry Fitzgerald on the same thing, max protection, little play action, another bang eight to me. Mm-hmm. He made some throws that I'm here to tell you. Tom Brady'd be proud. Tom Brady would be proud to make that kind of throw. He's perplexing because he's hot and he's cold.
He's hot and cold, no question.
But he's modest about all of it. Like, I asked him about the Larry Fitzgerald. He said, you know, they always say the windows are smaller in the NFL, and that's true, except with Larry Fitzgerald, the windows are larger. So I just throw it up. I just throw it to him. When you see Fitz, and, you know, whether it's Skelton or Cobb, and he goes for 7 and a $149, right, and he's just plucking balls out of the air away from guys, do you guys laugh? Because you see that in practice all the time. And then happens to the opposition. You find that entertaining when you see that?
Yeah, it's definitely funny. I mean, because we be at practice sometimes and they throw some passes up and you'd be like, wow, how did he catch that? And, you know, and then the same thing on Sunday. I mean, that one pass where he caught the dig and spun off the guy and ran in for the touchdown, it was just a tremendous catch. And it's just a great thing to play with a great guy like that and just to see the way he works at practice and then it rolls over to the game.
You know, with Kevin Cobb, when he came back, they said, hey, you know, media guys like me, pencil neck guys, like, and Kevin, you know, watching on the sideline, is that going to help you? You know, so, Kerry, same thing to you. You think it might help you at all, having watched this defense, you know, and coming back to action now? And how different is the defense coming back? Because it seems like everyone else has raised their level of play.
I think it will help. And that's the thing. That's the big thing for me. That's the reason I'm trying to get back into the flow of things. I mean, the guys are out there having fun. And you can just see the difference in the defense from when I was playing in it and now, seeing the guys play now. And actually taking a back seat and looking at the guys and seeing where everything fits and seeing how better they're playing together. You see the front playing well. You see the linebackers playing well. You see the DBs making plays and playing well as well. So it just motivated me to try to speed up the process to get back out there with the guys to continue the success for us.
Rashad, you were talking about the packages and some of the pressure packages, some of the defenses that were scaled back earlier in the season. Over the course of the last six games in particular, where the defense has been playing so well, how many more packages have been added? I mean, can you give us a percentage of growth?
It's not necessarily the packages. The packages are the same. It's just as far as the calls that we're doing in each one of the packages. I mean, you know, earlier it was maybe two or three calls in each package, and now, you know, it's just a whole sheet full of them that we can run, that we've been put in camp, and, you know, we're running well, but, you know, early in the season, we didn't do as well with
them. Has it doubled? Has it tripled?
I would definitely say it's probably tripled.
Tripled? Yeah. Holy cow. I mean, that's significant.
And you know what's funny about it? I'm one of the guys that knew the defense, so the first day at practice, I came back out there, and it was a regular call. It was like base 43. And I'm looking at the offense. I'm like, what am I playing right now? Like, just to get back out there and get in the flow of making calls again, it's totally different.
How much of that has been an advantage is you guys have busted out different calls and different looks, and the fact it hasn't been on film, right? I mean, do you notice, is that an advantage in any way, these last two games, especially against Dallas and San Francisco? They've seen things you guys haven't put on film yet.
Yeah, I definitely think that's an advantage. I mean, because, you know, they game plan, they watch tape just like we do, and they see tendencies. And when a team can come out and change their tendencies up on third down or first down, the calls they normally do, I definitely think that, you know, it can shake the offense up and be to our advantage. And, you know, for us to do it this way, it's definitely helped us out a lot.
Have you got to a point, Rashad, where you can look at the personnel group, look at the formation, and consider the down and distance, and pretty much know or have a good feeling what the team's going to do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from film study and just being out there a little more and getting more comfortable, you definitely get that intuition that, you know, you've seen this before. Okay, I'm going to just believe it and go do it. And, I mean, that definitely makes a difference in the play and how fast you play and how well you play.
Well, we start with that passing touchdown. Early Doucette, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo will donate $500 to the Team Up for Schools Fund, which donates money to local public schools. Wells Fargo together will go far. You think they played that touchdown because Doucette went to LSU and you went to Alabama and you guys have that little rivalry going there, Rashad? And didn't you have to wear the LSU colors earlier this year after you lost
it? We weren't supposed to talk about
it. Yeah, that's right. It's a good thing we're out of time, actually, right now.
Well, we got a rematch.
Yeah, in 2 minutes, we'll be right back. Wolf, I notice you don't have my back. More of the Big Red Rage right after this.
Shotgun snap for Smith. He's in trouble. Chase from behind and sack. It's Patrick Peterson who gets him. Where the Cardinals getting all kinds of pressure on Alex Smith.
Coach Horton definitely been dialing it up lately. You know, everybody's getting in on a party. Got my first sack, so it's a pleasure to even be playing in this type of defense that we have, because guys don't know where we're coming from, and at the same time, we cause confusion.
All right, now, Rashad, don't take that personal. Another LSU guy just found his way into the show. Patrick Peterson right there. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford with your host, Gary Rhodes. And, guys, five sacks by five different Cardinals 2 weeks in a row. Eight different guys total. Gary, what does that say about the state of the Cardinals defense right now?
It says that what Coach said early on was true. He said that if everybody plays the system the right way, everybody will get a chance to eat. Everybody will get a chance to make plays. So I think that's why everybody's starting to buy into the system, knowing that on each and every day, each and every game, it can be somebody else to make a play.
And isn't that the beauty of the defense, that anybody can come at any time, Rashad? I mean, isn't that the essence of what is hopefully a competitive advantage, this scheme?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, because if you got a tendency of, you know, just a certain guy coming and that's the only guy blitzing, you know, guys are going to know that. I mean, it's a lot of fun when everybody gets the chance to jump in and be a part of that party. I'm just waiting on my first sack.
Now, just about to say, so when, so I'm gonna tell Coach to dial you up this week and get you one this week. So we got to get Rashad in there.
You know, your third down defense is spectacular. Amazing. As a matter of fact, it's elite when you start looking at it numerically, looking at it statistically. You guys are number three in third down defense in the National Football League. And I got to tell you, again, when you look at stats can often be deceiving, but you look at third down, not that one, and red zone defense as well. I think those two stats, other than points allowed, are critical to a defense. Having said that, what do you think are the components of good third down defense? What do you got to have?
I think, first of all, you gotta have a good front line. I mean, you gotta be able to get that pressure on the quarterback on third down. You know it's gonna be a pass, so we can switch it up to where we don't have to bring six guys and leave our corners out there 1-on-1. We can maybe drop back and play some coverage and, you know, just show some different things on third down. So if you got a good pass rush, you know, like we do up front, Sam Macho, Calais, Dockett, all those guys are getting to the quarterback. And I mean, I think that helps a lot.
Another key with that though is winning on first and second down as well. They've been playing well. They've been playing well on first and second down as well. So you get the teams in third and longer, and that gives our success rate a lot better chance.
That's a great point.
You know, Calais said, I think it was in our postgame interview, where he called it quicksand, that earlier in the year, if and when you gave up a big play, then it would sort of precipitate more big plays. And now you guys kind of put your foot down as a defense. If there's a play, if there's a big gainer, which in this case, you know, rarely has been above 20 yards, unlike earlier in the season, you know, that isn't the case anymore. And you sort of see in that the red zone defense as well, right, Rashad? I mean, is it almost as much a mentality as anything else?
Yeah, I definitely believe that. I mean, it's definitely a mentality you have to take on the field, regardless of if you – giving up a big play or if you've been put in a bad situation because of something that, you know, happened on special teams. I mean, just situational defense. When you can play those situations well and not give up touchdowns, I mean, that leaves you a big advantage in winning games.
I was just going to bring that point up. Rashad made a great play on special teams and stopped the guy on, like, the four-yard line. So the setting changed for the defense. We came out on the field first and goal on the four-yard line. We stopped him and made him kick a field goal. And that's small points like that are the reason that we're winning games now.
Yeah, when the final score is 21-19, then you see the importance of something like that, no doubt about it. No, so course. Zero sacks for Rashad there, Kerry, and zero fines. So what are you more surprised by right now?
Wait. Huh? The zero fine thing? Just hold on that one for a minute.
Yeah,
I've been telling him all week.
But it's Thursday.
I've been telling him all week. Okay, you usually get the FedEx on Tuesday. But since it's late, we're going to say it's going to be a UPS delivery.
Well, they're bogged down by the holidays. You know, maybe that's they're just behind with all the holidays. the gifts and the boxes and everything.
Hey, there you go.
I see. How tough is it to play DB for both you guys in the NFL right now, just based on the rules? And, seemingly you can't touch receivers ever virtually in any situation. And then when the ball's in the air or they have the ball carrier and then you're trying to tackle the guy and, you don't know where you put your shoulder or your helmet. I mean, what's the degree of difficulty just playing the position these days?
To me personally, I just don't feel like there's any degree of difficulty. I don't think you should change the way you play. I mean, if you're going to get fined, then you're going to get fined. I mean, I would rather make a hit that's going to incomplete pass than a guy catch a touchdown and the coach is yelling at me, asking me, why did I not make that play?
Kerry, do you concur?
Right. Yeah. Spoken like a man who has not been fined yet.
There you go.
I might say.
I'm with Rashad right now.
It's James Harrison. Think about it. James Harrison, he got suspended.
Right.
That's a game check. That's a big fine.
He really doesn't care. Like, I know him personally, and he, like Rashad said, he just plays football. And if he gets fined for it, oh well.
Were you surprised, considering his track record, with the commissioner, that he only got one game? You're playing a team against, and you're probably not going to face Colt McCoy because of James Harrison.
That's why I called. I called James and told him thank you.
I see, right.
But I also called Colt and said I make sure he was okay, too. So I'm playing both sides of the fence.
But you also have to remember, too, Paulie, that's the first of its kind. The first suspension for helmet-to-helmet in the National Football League. One game.
Man, if I need a phone number, do I go to Kerry? He's calling all these guys. He got him on speed dial over there.
He got everybody in the league.
It's good to be Kerry Rhodes. Big Red Rage back right after this.
It's Christmas time in Hollis, Queens. Mom's cooking chicken and collard greens. Rice and stuffing macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts under Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, Snow White so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log.
Gary, on that phone over there, you got the number for Run DMC, the guys at Run DMC, you got their number as well in there?
No, I got the famous Paulie Kusilnick in here.
It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan for Kerry Rhodes. Special guest Rashad Johnson. Yes, Paul Calvisi over here, a.k.a. Paulie Pencilneck. Ron Wolfley right over there. And it's always fascinating, Wolf. And I have a chance sometimes with you when, former NFL guys, current NFL guys, any NFL guy watches an NFL game like we're watching right now at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, right? Jaguars and Falcons. And yes, you can do a little scoreboard watching because Falcons are one of those teams that are 8-5 and just ahead of you. Maybe for Christmas, a 3-game winning streak to, end the season at 9-7 and just see what happens and how things shake down. But you guys watch it from a whole totally different perspective, don't you, Kerry, than probably 99% of the people in here, right?
Yeah, we just look for big plays. Like you see a big hit like Rashad just saw, or you see somebody make a nice interception or a nice grab. You just appreciate the game from that standpoint of not being so engulfed in trying to make the right decisions on the field.
Well, knowing that you guys watch so much film, too, during the week.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy watching a game on television, Kerry?
I really don't watch much football. I really don't.
I don't watch it myself a lot either. And it's kind of funny when I do watch it and I'm around some friends. They always try and make fun. They be like, "So, what you think they're gonna run right here?" And I make a call, and it ends up happening.
It happened.
And
yeah.
They be like, "Man, how do you know that?"
We play football.
Yeah.
You're big on the X Factor, though, aren't you, Kerry? I'm sure.
No, I don't watch that either. I'm not a TV guy.
So what's on the Christmas list this year, guys? What do you hope's under the tree, Rashad?
I don't know. With Kerry being, a captain in the DB room and an older guy, just expecting him, to take care of the whole group.
I see.
And show how much he appreciates us as players,
I think that's
we'll
realistic.
See.
Absolutely. Realistic. That's a realistic expectation. Kerry?
Is it really, Paul?
Yeah, I'm just assuming that's the way things work when you're the captain of the defensive backfield like that. You and Adrian Wilson, the longest tenured Cardinal, probably take care of all the guys. Maybe? No?
Yeah, we will. Okay. We will take care of the guys.
I see.
A whole bunch of coal stuffed in.
I see. The Calvisi family went out and got their tree this afternoon. That's always an experience with a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. How about you guys? Is the house decorated all, Kerry? You done any of the decorations? How's it going with Christmas so far?
No that, decorations
that,
right now.
That's a no?
No? No, not right now.
No, I see.
Okay. Rashad, are you big on decorating the compound?
Well, it's not me that's big on decorating. Mom is, and she was out a week ago. So when she left her touch inside the house with the Christmas tree and a few other things. She was outside with lights when I pulled up from practice, and I told her that's not happening.
No, don't do that.
Let's take those back inside.
Don't do the lights.
You know, when Bertrand Barry was hosting this show, he asked him your most memorable Christmas gift as a kid, and he said shoe polish, because he couldn't believe his grandfather gave him shoe polish one year. He's like 8 years old or something. Anything stick with you guys when you were kids? Anything you remember? Oh, yeah, there you woke up on Christmas morning and there it was. Anything come to mind?
Oh, man.
Total blur. Come on, Gary. Sure. Go ahead.
I got one. No question. Okay. I was celebrating Christmas in New Orleans with my aunt. We all were there with my aunt in New Orleans. And I woke up. And that's when the Nintendo first came out. We had the Nintendo out. We had the little keypad, the track and field pad.
Yep.
Oh, it was no rest the rest of the day. We were running track all day, track and field.
Come on, you didn't have a Transformer, Rashad.
For me, it was I got a four wheeler for Christmas. Me and my brother did one time.
See, they got money.
Yeah,
they got money.
Wow.
And mom and dad, it kind of tricked us. The garage doors were down. They pulled up in the driveway. It's like, well, you guys go around and let us in. We can't, you know, it'll be easier on you guys. So we go around, come in through the door, and we hit the garage door. Well, we open the door and hit the garage door, and it raises up. Four-wheeler sitting there.
You know, it's funny because nice. Paul actually got Ricky Ricardo heel lifts.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Wolf's over there. He had the game of Pong. That's what he goes back to when it comes to one of those games. But, Rashad, this is a good time to mention. I mean, you grew up in a small town, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Very small. I mean, it's 1,200 people in my whole town, and we just got a Subway like 2 years ago. I'm talking about the place you eat at. Subway.
Yeah, that was a big deal. You guys got a sandwich shop.
Oh,
that was a big deal.
It's huge. I mean, the place to hang out is Bill Dollar Store parking lot on Friday nights.
Which is one of the reasons you walked on in Alabama, right? Because you played at a tiny, like, 1A high school, didn't you?
Yeah, it was very small. I mean, we graduated 45 people in my class, I think. Wow. So, I mean, you know, a lot of college scouts probably didn't even know where that was or if it even existed.
Wow. And you walked on as a running back, didn't you?
Yeah, walked on to the University of Alabama as a running back. Redshirted, played on special teams the first year, and ended up switching over to defense my sophomore season.
In a small town like that, do you have any traditions, any holiday traditions that the town used to do? Like, did you, like Whoville, gather around a tree and hold hands? Or
No, not any town traditions, just family traditions. I'm sure that everybody has, you know, Thanksgiving, we go up grandma's and eat. Same thing for Christmas. We all open our gifts, and we all go up grandma's and open up gifts up there as well. So, I mean, that's the small traditions that we have.
I'm still not buying her. I'm not sure whether Carey actually started as a quarterback at Louisville or not. You started as a running back. You know, Carey is a quarterback. Like, for instance, if you would have been up last week, Carey, you know, would you have been the emergency quarterback? You were early Doucette. Who fills in last week for Skelton if he goes down? Knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen.
Well, I'm the better quarterback, but Early knows the playbook better, so it'd have been tight.
Really? Who'd you go with, Rashad, as the emergency quarterback? Early or Carey?
We play this game after every Friday. Uh-huh. We throw the ball from the 20-yard line, try to hit the goalpost, and the only person that's hit it, not gonna lie, it was Joey Porter.
Oh! Carey stood up.
Man. So,
wow.
Thank you.
I think we run the Wildcat the rest of the game.
I see. Yeah, that would be bad. Patrick Peterson and the Wildcat. That would have been the best option.
He'd be good on the cadence.
Absolutely. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
You like wearing the Browns jersey, Wolf, when you played for him? You take pride in that Browns orange helmet and Browns jersey? I bet you loved it, didn't you?
I did. I love the dirty spectrum colors. I did. Especially that dirty brown ugly jersey.
Yeah, you loved it, huh? You used to like get it all bloody and everything.
A lot of blurred badges on that thing.
You're saying, man, that's kind of a casual broadcast there on game day. Well, it's because it was off air. It was during the commercial break. Or Jim Almondro, you never quite know when he's rolling, recording. And, yes, Dave Pasch and Ron Wolfley sharing a conversation about Wolf's playing days for the Cleveland Browns. 2 years, Wolf, in Cleveland? Is that correct?
Two, yeah. 92 and 93 with Bill Belichick. Okay.
You didn't stand in front of the mirror in the locker room, you know, in full uniform kind of looking at yourself or anything, did you? Wolf,
no,
you
I did not. Those but guys, but I really did. I liked it. It was such a nasty uniform, you know. I mean, I mean nasty, you know, it was dirty brown.
Yeah,
you know, there was no logo on the helmet. You know, this bright orange and dirty brown. It was, to me, I loved it. It was a grass field. Yeah.
There's probably no in between. You love it or hate it if you're a player, right, guys? Absolutely. It polarizes you, right, Kerry?
Yeah, it's terrible.
I see. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
And then I also like the fact, too, that when we went with our whites, it was white pants and white jersey. There was just a lot of area to get blood all over it. And that was... Yeah. That was the blurt badge. You heard me talking about the blurt badge. Yeah. Do you know what that is? That's one part dirt, two parts blood. Mix it together, stick it on your jersey, and let it stay there for about 30 seconds.
That's old school football right there.
Thank you, Kerry.
I don't know about that one right there, Paul. I don't know.
I don't know if it's old school or just pathological. I'm not sure which one it is. So you're playing Cleveland. For example, this is the only team that Larry Fitzgerald hasn't played against in his career, because last time you guys played against them, the Derek Anderson game 2007 there, Larry was out with an injury. We don't know a lot about the Cleveland Browns. We just know they've lost 8 of their last 10. I'll step aside. You guys tell us about the Cleveland Browns, Kerry. What do we need to know about this team?
Well, I think they play in a tough division, so their record is a little bit deceiving. They're actually probably a better team than what their record indicates. So just let the fans know that it's not going to be an easy game. So we're going to need all the support that we usually get from those guys, and make sure you're loud for us, because it's going to be a tough game.
What do you see, Rashad?
Just a physical group. Kind of piggyback off what Kerry said. They play in a physical division. They have to be very physical. And, just some big guys just going to have to go out, and it's going to take 60 minutes of us playing our best football.
You know, we mentioned James Harrison earlier. Colt McCoy was sent home for practice today. Mm-hmm. So second straight day he didn't practice. Very doubtful he's going to play on Sunday for obvious reasons with a concussion. So Seneca Walsh, what do you know, Kerry? What do you need to know about this guy?
I don't know much about him, but I played against him when I was with the Jets in 08. And, he can win football games. He can make the throws. He can extend plays and move with his feet and make plays with his feet. So it's going to be a challenge. I mean, he's a confident guy. He's going to come out and do everything he can to try to get a win.
What are your impressions of Peyton Hillis so far?
I haven't seen him much.
You haven't seen him, Rashad?
Big and physical. I mean, he's the same guy he was in college. I played him in Arkansas.
Oh, did you?
Very athletic, very versatile. He returned punts, played running back. He done it all. And, I mean, he definitely can run the ball very well and, just can't let him get going.
And he's a dangerous receiver out of the backfield, too, isn't he? They throw him the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So
how dangerous is it when you look at a team and they're 29th and offense, and they're 29th in the run game, and they're near the bottom in the passing game? Is this sort of a dangerous game if you don't, especially a lot of young guys, Kerry? Anything you could tell some of these young guys, now that things have been rolling?
Yeah, for us, this game is about us. We know what the numbers are. It doesn't really matter, but we just want to come out and continue to get better as a defense, as a unit. We've talked about it throughout this week to make sure that we continue our success. I mean, that's what it's about for us. We're really not worried about what they do. It's more on us and what we do.
I guess there was a moment in practice last week where the team got together and Nick Eason made a point of saying, hey, nobody's arrived, nobody's satisfied. Tell us about that, Rashad. A couple of the coaches were saying he said if Nick Eason hadn't done it at that moment, maybe one of the coaches would have. What do you think they meant by that?
It wasn't a great day of practice. A lot of guys just not really focused. And, it was something that needed to be said. I mean, Nick's been around the game for a long time. And he's a guy that when he speaks, guys listen to him. And, it was definitely a pivotal point of the week. And we came back and had some really good practices afterwards. And everything he said was true. We haven't arrived. At the end of the day, our record was what it was. And it still is what it is now. So just because we played well these past couple weeks doesn't mean we're entitled to anything. We got to continue to finish the season out.
So when you played against Arkansas, they had Peyton Hillis, they had Darren McFadden, and Felix Felix Jones.
And the quarterback, Mark Jones.
Matt Jones.
Wow.
Yeah, they were loaded.
That's the definition of loaded there, no doubt about it. It's the Room Store's Ultimate Fan Cave giveaway. Register to win a 7-piece living room with a 55-inch flat screen at any Room Store location. Back to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford, right after this. Here's a question for you, Rashad Johnson, to wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage. Is Kerry Rhodes a pool shark? Will he take some cash off you in a pool hall? Because he's having this holiday mixer all for charity, and it revolves around billiards coming up here.
If he is, he set his game up really nice. We went over to his house not too long ago, and we all played pool, and I don't think he won a game that night.
So if he's a pool shark, he set
it up perfectly.
Yeah, sandbagging.
It's all about baiting them in.
Set them up for the big score. Kerry, what are the details? What do we need to know about your charity event coming up?
Well, it's going on Monday. It'll be Monday night from 7 to 12 at
It's in a little bit of Cactus Moon, I think it's the name of the place, in Mesa. And you can check out all the information on kerryrhodes.com.
kerryrhodes.com. Yes. Absolutely. All right. Very well done. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahundro, Walt, and Jason Ellis, Charlie Feinerman, of course, Tiffany Witt. So, all right, what are we going to see on Sunday, guys? What can we say? Well, are we going to see the two of you guys out there? Kerry, what do you think? What can you tell us right now? Can you tell us anything?
I'm very close to playing, so we will see what goes on. I mean, if the fans want me to come out and play this week, I'll play.
Oh, that's
right. Look at that.
Is that right?
Look at that. Playing to the crowd.
So they answered the question for you right there.
I see. A man of the people, Kerry Rhodes. Special thanks to him. Rashad, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, Wolf. Keep it going over there. The Big Red Rage, Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Kerry Rhodes.
Going to the outside 10.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford and the Arizona Cardinals. We do this together. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.